We have come together today to celebrate the life of Kwane Rashid Doster. There will be no sermon today. Your thoughts and prayers and words and feelings will be our tribute to his memory. My hope for you is that in time, the pain of losing him will be made bearable by your gratitude for having known him. Let us pray. O Holy One, God of grace and sacred source of all that is true and beautiful, be with us today as we celebrate the life of our brother, son, companion, and friend. We thank you for his life, for the time he had with us, and for the memories that each of us will forever cherish. In your boundless compassion, console us as we mourn. Be with us as we remember, and walk with us as we continue our journey together. Amen.
is your name. To comfort me, to hold me, to strengthen me in this time. Lord, I turn to you. You're my help. You're my strength, my leader, and my guide. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Oh, thy name.
Ladies and gentlemen, although I am a professional maker of remarks, this is not the way I like to make them. I can tell you that I hate occasions like this. I hate that we have to be here today. The death of a young person is wrenching, but the pain is made even more difficult to bear when that death is predicated on a senseless act of violence. The loss of a student grieves me deeply. I have worked with so many young people over the years. My passion is for seeing them out into the world, so losing a student is one of the most difficult parts of my work. And because I am chancellor, I am supposed to be able to say something ceremonial and meaningful, something that attempts to make sense out of something so deeply purposeless and unfair and even unfathomable. But I do not think there is a way to transmute Kwani Doster's murder into goodness. I am certainly not about to presume to say that some good will come of this, unless that good could be our gathering together to recognize the value of Kwani's life and to determine that his death will not be in vain. We lost a fine young man and lost him in an absurd way, and although the person who took Kwani's life is redeemable, the act itself is not. It was grossly cruel and stupid. So condemn it as such. Grieve it as an irreparable loss, if that is what you want, if you cannot make any other sense of it, for that is what it is. We can rarely do anything with such an event except reject it and decide that we are going to live our lives in ways that make such acts of violence less likely to occur. The way that I knew Kwani always had the theme of how pleased he was to be at Vanderbilt University, how he knew that this was the right place for him to be. And I agree. Vanderbilt was the right place for Kwani to be because he was so loved here by his coaches and his teammates and his roommates and all his friends. He was in the absolute right place, and we are happy that while he was here with us, we got to share his warmth and his friendliness. Anyone who had the pleasure of meeting Kwani while he was at Vanderbilt could tell you how warm and outgoing he was. Such a spirit as Kwani Doster's deserves our continued vigilance, that we continue to work to transform this world into one that does not celebrate violence. So please renew your commitment to your own education, and especially to the education of others, so that humans learn not to solve their problems, real or perceived, with violence, and that they learn that there are other ways. There are always other ways. Go about seeking those ways with the warmth and extroversion with which Kwani lived his life. Keep Kwani's outgoing spirit alive in your hearts by approaching everyone you meet as a teammate and a friend.
The pain now is part of the happiness then. That's the deal. Those are the thoughts of a noted British writer, C.S. Lewis, in the film Shadowlands, as he grieves over the premature death of his wife. We're all here today because we're in pain at the loss of Kwani Doster, and none more so than his family, whose sorrow is immeasurable. They have over 21 years of happy memories upon which to reflect. For the Vanderbilt community, our memories began 3 years ago when the football program began to recruit Quanay. Our happiness began when Quanay made a commitment to become a Commodore on his visit here in January of 2002. Everyone here knew Quanay in a special way. Some of us knew him as his coaches. Some of you knew him as a classmate. There are professors here who knew him as a student. Some of you knew him socially, and I'm sure that many of you have been happy witnesses of Quanay's now famous Tampa dance. Unfortunately, I was not invited to some of those parties that I got to witness at. Some of you are just fans who knew him as a great football player with speed and dexterity and carrying the football down the field. And then there, of course, there are those who knew him the best. His teammates, his roommates, and his close friends. In the Vanderbilt community, those are the guys who knew happiness best with Quanay. Quanay got to Vanderbilt University because of his athletic talent. He stayed here because of his character. It's tough to succeed in the classrooms at Vanderbilt. It's tough to excel in college football, especially in our conference. It is very challenging to do both. In the past few years, there have been guys on our team have not been able to meet that challenge. However, Quanay had the fortitude to excel in that area. Vanderbilt was actually quite fortunate to have Quanay to go to school here. Quanay could have chosen other universities. As coaches, we could have overlooked him and recruited another student athlete. There could have been any other circumstances that could have changed history. If he had not come to Vanderbilt, this service would be taking place on another campus in another chapel, and the Vanderbilt community would be spared the pain. However, if offered the opportunity to miss the sorrow and not have the chance to know Quanay, I think everyone in here would feel that that is not a very good deal. Quanay's presence in our lives was a gift. The pain now is part of the happiness then. That's the deal. Hopefully, as time passes and sorrow diminishes, our thoughts of Quanay will focus more on the happiness that we shared with him. Quanay Doster graced our lives with his life, and I thank God for that blessing.
How humbling it is to stand before you and have to speak of such a wonderful gift, a wonderful presence in our community as that of Quanay. If ever there was a person who lived a life that seemed to be guided by the spiritual, guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. Indeed, Quanay ran that race, and hardly in vain. He ran it to the finish. It came too fast. As I reflected on what we might say about Quanay today, it's very difficult, and I came to sort of a bottom line conclusion. We love Quanay. and I truly believed he loved us. He was loved by his teachers. I've had a number of faculty contact me about Kiwanis to say what a wonderful inspiration he was. He saw the challenge in the classroom, and rather than run from it, he ran his race toward that challenge, embraced it, and succeeded. His classmates, many, many have contacted me to say how much they loved Kiwanis, how he inspired them in his diligence, in his courage, and in his commitment to get an education, to be a better football player, to be an excellent person. Indeed, he was successful. When Kiwanis applied to Vanderbilt and completed that application form on April 23rd, 2002, he wrote of his dreams, he wrote of his goals, he wrote why he wanted to come to Vanderbilt, and he spoke to his aspirations of developing his talent, not just his football talent, although he did articulate that quite clearly. He wrote about getting an education and his desire to become an educated person, to have access to the privileges and opportunities that come with being an educated person. He aspired to set a path for his brother and others who knew him, that they too would aspire to this path. And to quote Kiwanis, he wrote, "I hope that I'm successful so that I can be an example to my brother. I want this more than anything. I want to start a new legacy." He did it. The legacy's in place. The races continue. Kiwanis took the words of the poet. He is a light in his own village, and indeed he brought that college home. Kiwanis was loved. He was loved at Vanderbilt. He was loved by his teammates, by his classmates, by his professors, by the many staff people whose lives he touched in the course of any given day. He moved on the path through Vanderbilt with clearly guided feet, touching each of us who came to know him and who came to respect him and admire him for those wonderful aspirations he was grabbing hold of with great speed. There's much we can say about Kiwanis, about his achievements, but I think it's up to us to commend him to another playing field. And on this path, I would ask you to join me as I say, Kiwanis, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, Kiwanis, may God hold you in the palm of his hands.
I sat there wondering what I could say to this community about Kiwanis that you don't know. And if truth be told, I've come to the conclusion that I could say nothing that you already don't know. Because to meet Kiwanis was to love Kiwanis. And to love Kwame was to see his character. That yes, he was gifted. Yes, he was talented. Yes, he could stop on a dime. And yes, he could dart, as you say. But to know who he really was as a person was far greater than anything that he could ever do on a football field or a baseball field. But one thing I would like you to know is there is a building in Tampa, Florida, that is being named the Kwame Rashid Doster Recreation Center. And if you know anything about Tampa, Florida, you don't get your name on a building merely by your talent or your intellectual ability. But they will put your name on a building if you have true character, the kind of character that rubs off on people you meet. And he had that character. He exemplified integrity. Something we all can take from him is integrity and character. To the student body, I would just like to say that sometimes our professors, our instructors, or our teachers will give us an assignment, and we have to come up with the right answer to that assignment. And oftentimes a formula is needed for us to reach that desired answer. And we sometimes go back to our apartments, or our homes, or our dormitories, and we try to work that problem in a multiplicity of ways by coming up with our own formula, so to speak. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. I say that to say this, that when Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes unto the Father except by him, we need not try to rework that formula. It's the one and only formula that would always work. And that's by assuring us that we will see Kwame again in heaven if we do that. I just want you to know that he would love for me to say what I've said. Nothing more or nothing less. And it's just an honor to speak on his behalf and his family's behalf, because he's touched my life in the time that I knew him. Thank you.
Psalm 23, the King James edition. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
My memories of Kwame, better known as Dot. The very first time that I realized that Dot was special was not on the playing field. However, I still haven't ever seen anyone run, stop on a dime, let all defenders pass him, restart, and score like a 70-yard touchdown. But it was one time our freshman year, we were all at Eric's dad's house for the Super Bowl. That day, while we were there, we played Madden, played spades, shot pool, and every single game, every single way, Kwanae beat me. Some kind of way, he found a way to beat me. I was so frustrated and couldn't believe it. But from that point on, I always knew that he was destined for greatness because of this indescribable swagger he had in everything he did. The things that I remember and learned from Dot are things that I will take with me to my grave. He was always a jokester. Many people say that he was quiet and shy, but around us, it was the total opposite. There were so many times that we would sit up late playing video games and joking around. I remember this one night when Brandon got his car towed from downtown. We had to drive around for nearly 2 hours looking for it. When we finally arrived at the tow shop, there was an overweight flashlight cop who was sitting there behind the counter giving us the runaround. So Doc goes up to him and says, "Hey man, isn't Krispy Kreme serving hot donuts right now?" I wish you guys could have seen the cop's face. It was so funny. The other thing that I remember about Dot was his willingness to listen. We would talk late at night playing a game of Madden while he was eating all my precious Fruity Pebbles. He would always listen to my girl problems and give me advice, even though he was going through some of the same things in his own life at that time. But somehow it always seemed to make good sense. As I close, I just want to say that Kwanae, you will always be a part of me, my life, and everything that I do in it. Your time here with us was short, but it was truly a blessing. And in memory of your favorite saying, "Y'all sleep," may you forever sleep in peace. I love you and will always miss you. P.S., when we meet again in heaven, you still owe me a box of Fruity Pebbles.
Good afternoon, everybody. I had a speech, but I'm gonna try to go off the top of my head with it. So I was blessed with the opportunity to spend 2 or 3 years with Kwanae, and believe me, I enjoyed every moment of it. I tried to think about what I was gonna say about him. On the way over here, I came up with it, and I was talking with Jay about it outside. Kwanae was like a mini Dr. Phil or something. He always had advice for us with our girl problems, and we used to look at him like, "Doc, man, what you talking about, bro?" Because he's probably going through the same things that we are. And but if you sit down late at night and think about it and actually listen to him and do what he said, everything had turned out all right. But it was just an honor to play on the field with him, to be his friend, and especially these last couple of years because he lived down the hall from us last year. We used to spend a whole bunch of time together. And this summer he had the opportunity, he stayed with us in our apartment for a couple of weeks, bought groceries for us and everything. It was just an honor and a pleasure. And I will miss him greatly, and I always love him. And to his family, y'all have my deepest condolences. Thanks.
Kwanae and I roomed together our freshman year. We were brought in, played the same position, and we lived together. You know, you thought that it might be, you know, heated controversy, but it wasn't. We loved each other. We did everything together. And there are a couple of things that I always remember about him. And first and foremost, it would be that he loved shoes. I mean, anybody who knows him, anybody who's ever been to our room a freshman year know that he loved his shoes. He had every Jordan since 95. I don't know. He had a pair on that were clean that I had worn when I was 11 years old. So, I mean, everybody knew that he loved his shoes. And actually, me and a friend of mine, Kevin Joyce, actually hid a pair of those shoes from him one day and thought that he wouldn't recognize. It was a pair that I'd never seen him wear. But he came up to me the next day and asked me if I had left the door unlocked, somebody stolen his shoes, and I was just... I don't know how he knew they were gone, but another thing that I remember about Kwanae was that he was really dedicated to his studies. Freshman year, he hardly ever went out, maybe a couple of times. I would always leave the room and he was there studying. The final thing that I learned about Kwane was that he was a very caring and loving person. He was there for me that year no matter what, no matter what I needed, no matter what problem it was, if it was a school problem, if it was a personal problem, if it was a girlfriend problem, like they said, he was always there. And I always remember that when I went through my, when I got hurt that year, he was there for me to help me do what I needed to do to get back to where I was. He gave me emotional help, and he helped me get what I needed whenever I needed, because I couldn't walk for a good while. But I have to say that it was a pleasure to be his roommate, and it was even more of a pleasure to be his friend. And I have to say that I'm truly blessed to have been able to spend so much time with him. I love you, Kwane, and
I'm going to touch on the character that Reverend Young talked about. My reflection has to do with, one Saturday night after a football game, doing what football players do at the games. We was riding back. It had to be about 3:30 in the morning, right? I mean, we jamming. I got the stereo blasting. I think I got the loudest stereo system on the campus, right? So, I mean, we just blasting, riding. It's dark. We got our sunglasses on. We just riding, right? So then, I get a little tap on my shoulder, right? He points somewhere, and I'm looking. I'm like, okay, we on the same page. We hungry, right? We want to stop at Jack in the Box. They got everything on the menu. We have a nice riding. So we ride. We pull up, and I get ready to order, right? But I still got the music just blasting, right? We messing with the little people at the window. They can't hear us and everything. So I get ready to order, right? I turn it down, right? I get ready to order. I order something like normal people do. Give me a number 5, No onions, no pickles, And he get up there. He had that extra mayo, extra bacon. I mean, he had more accessories than he had meat on the burger. But the thing was, he didn't even order that. Because I got the order, right? I sat down, and I dropped my phone. So I looked down at him. Because how he had that temper, that slang that came out of his mouth, right? He like, let me get a large hamburger helper and a Kool-Aid. I looked at him, he looked at me, we were crying, we were laughing so hard. Man, I would tell my kids, my grandkids that, I'll never forget. That's how you order a hamburger helper at Jack in the Box. I said, I know they got everything, but hamburger helper ain't gonna have that. But that's just the type of person he was. He had an unmatched capability of making people laugh. He would joke about you, and you would laugh at yourself. I know me and him got into it many times over joking, man, and every time I lost, like Jason. But it was just a privilege, man, to be in his presence, man. He's like a brother to us all, man, and. It's tragic for something like this to happen, but you just got to make the best of it, and you got to keep on walking. And I know that we can never replace Kwane to the Doster family and Doster community, but just know that y'all got support, and we're willing to help y'all walk that mile. Thank you.
A lot of y'all know I was Kwane's roommate past 2 years, so I had a lot of different experiences with him, and I just want to tell the story of how me and Kwane really started to become friends. He came in as a freshman, good football player. I played defense, he played offense, so we going against each other in practice. But when I really started to notice me and Kwane had a lot in common was in the locker room, because, everybody always talking about how good they are in the video games and just different things. And everybody who really know me know that I spend a lot of time playing some video games. So me and him, we're supposed to be two of the best. So I was like, all right, well, we got to play. So we went and played. I won. So, anybody know Kwane, if you beat him, he's not going to stop till he gets you. So You know, we started going back every day, playing the game. And then also, they touched on his shoes. If y'all know me, y'all know I got a lot of shoes too. So we start comparing shoes. We gotta go get the same Jordans all the time, every month when they come out. Just everything, clothes. We always trying to, like, neither one of us had a car. So we always begging people, hey man, come get us, take us to the mall. You know, especially our roommates, they know. Every weekend, we're trying to get somebody to take us somewhere. And then, so it just went on from there. Next year, we decided we were going to be roommates. We lived in the same room. We found out we had so much more in common. We had the same lotion, the same brand of underwear, just everything. And, you know, so we just built it up there and there. And one thing that I kind of noticed that was real special about Cornet was his determination. Y'all football players know how rough we had on the kickoff return team, because there's some big dudes coming down there trying to knock your head off. And me and Cornet probably two of the smaller guys back there, so they running full speed just trying to tear us up. And he'll always be like, man, I hate this, man, because just get back there getting hit so hard, and I'll be blocking. I hear the crowd, ooh, I turn around, Kwane getting up, fixing his helmet. We'd be on the sideline, and he'd be like, man, I can't stand this. I'd be like, man, they got backups. You can just tell him you're tired or something. You know, if you don't want to do it, just tell him. He's like, I got to, man. I got to help us win. And that's one thing that was real special about him, his determination. He'll never quit anything. He'll always find a way to do his best at whatever he was doing, whether it was playing the game, shopping, or, you know what I'm saying, doing good in football or school. Cornet just always tried to do his best. And that's one thing I really remember about him. Thank you.
How y'all doing? First, I want to start by saying that my heart goes out to the Doster family. And if there's anything that I can do to help you during this time of pain or ache, I help you. Just anything you need, just let me know. But I've been back and forth a million times on what to put on a piece of paper, what to say today, trying to find the right thing to say, trying to find the right thing to calm everybody, to help everybody get through this. And, you know, every time I went to write something, or every time I went to type something, I got mad. I was angry that somebody would take him from us, somebody would take a son, somebody would take a brother, and somebody would take a friend. And, I mean, but during that time, the only thing that helped me get through the day, the only thing that helped me get through the night was the memories. The memories that, man, we had some good times. I mean, it was just from football games. I come to the game wearing his jersey, and I'm screaming every time he touched the ball, that's my roommate, that's my roommate. Every time he score, I'm going to snatch people I don't know. That's my roommate, that's my roommate. And in basketball games, he's sitting on the front row, he just harassing me. Every time I did something bad, somebody crossed me over, I missed a shot, he just yelling, ooh, you terrible, you terrible. And I remember the Oregon game. I get my shot blocked 3 or 4 times. I'm playing terrible. And after the game, I check my phone. So it's like during the middle of the first half, he's like, what are you doing? They not going to block your shot. Just lay the ball in the basket. He just called my phone. And, you know, I got back. He come in the room. He closed the door. He's like, we need to have a one-on-one. Was something wrong with you? You scared? And, you know. and that was, it was just, you know, that was the memories that kept me happy, that kept me smiling. Every time I thought about him, I haven't been sad once. I've smiled every time. And, you know, he touched so many people. He touched classmates. He touched teammates. He touched the athletic department. I mean, he was just a special person. And it's a great loss to the Vanderbilt community. I mean, I just hate it for you all and everybody just who really knew him and who was there. I mean, I took him to the airport, and he woke me up at 7 o'clock in the morning for an 11 o'clock flight. So I'm like, what? He like, man, I got to be the first on the plane, man. I got to be the first back in Tampa. I got to get off the plane, get home, man. People be looking at me funny. They don't want me to sit with them, you know what I'm saying? So I got to get my seat first. So, you know, that was the first thing. That was just the last thing I remember, you know, in the text message he sent me. But I wrote a little poem for just something just that I write that I've been back and forth a million times nah, this don't sound good. This, you know, so you was my ace, my homie, my brother from the start. You were number one on the field, and you were number one in my heart. You were the realest person I ever met, and I love you for that. I would trade my life for yours if it meant bringing you back. I remember all the times we used to chill in the room. I remember me going to practice, going to class, and you were still in the room. I would sit down on the couch. You tell me pick up the sticks. I remember the playing man games. You beat me like 50-6. I remember the last text message you sent me on Christmas Day, the last time we connected before they took you away. But if you can handle the truth, he's in a better place. Think about it. We got problems that he'll never face. So everybody celebrate. Put your hand to the sky, rock side to side for Kwanae when he died. Understand that you alive and what it is to survive, whether you work a 9-to-5 or you wasting your time. I just want y'all to know that as long as we here, we got something to do. And as long as Kwanae was here, he had something to do. And he showed me that anything's possible. You can beat anything if you put your mind to it. You can beat the odds. And I love him. And I miss him, and I just want to say I'm sorry to the family. And if there's anything I can do to help you all, just let me know. I'll be there for you in a minute. And so.
All right. I'm here representing the basketball team. And first off, we want to, you know, show our deepest sympathies to the Dawson family and everybody that's in the whole room with us tonight, today. Myself, Corey Smith, Mario Moore, and Derek Byers were four basketball players blessed to live with Kwanae this year. And, you know, it's been a great time. And, I mean, it just won't ever end. Things like that don't come a lot. But I want to talk about things that Kwanae did to make the college experience an uplifting time, whether it be a highly educated student, an extremely talented athlete, or just being how most of Vanderbilt knows him as just simply Doc. A lot of things I'm going to do or talk about, you've already heard, but, you know, I mean, I just, there's things that I know him personally by and that make me feel special to know him. First off, if you anybody knew Doc, I knew he loved his shoes, but he also loved his glasses. So I brought a pair today, so I'm going to wear them. First off, I can remember a time when I was telling jokes in the living room. I plan on going out that night, and it was a school night, but, you know, some of us do that. It's not smart, but, you know. Kwanae came to me and he said, JT, he was like, where are you going? I told him, I said, Doc, you know what, I'm going out. I'm going to have fun, whatever I do. And he looked at me, grabbed me, and he sat me down. And he said, JT, he said, I don't care, we're all athletes in here, but look, first off, our suite is all about academics. He's like, so by the time I change my clothes and I get back out here, everybody better have a book open and everybody better have their pens moving. And now, hearing this, you want to laugh about it, but most of you have seen Kwanae's made a little slash where he'll raise his hand and he'll go like that. And so when he did that, you know that he was serious about everything he said. The second thing I wanted to talk about was about Kwanae's highlight reel. And, you know, you've heard it several times, but being a basketball player, you don't see things like that every day. And I don't know if everybody knows the story. I'm going to tell it briefly. But Kwanae was got the handoff, and he was running towards the sideline. And you got seven people following him. And he's sitting there tapping me on the shoulder. He's like, JT, watch this. And I'm like, all right, Kwanae, you about to get hit. So what? Kwanae is running full speed. And many of you have seen him run full speed before. And you know that's real fast. He comes to a complete stop. And I don't mean a running stop where you run to it, slow down. He comes to a complete stop. Makes defenders jump by him. Takes two steps back. Makes more people run past him. And then he takes off running downfield. And he took off running faster downfield than I can run at my top speed, which doesn't really say a lot, but, you know. But I just think, you know, seeing things like that, it really brings a true meaning to the words naturally gifted, which is what Kwanae was. Last thing, after the basketball game at Cincinnati this year, we lost and we came back. And I went in my room. And as soon as I go in my room, I go and look out the window. And 5 seconds later, I turn around. And I'm just sitting there. But as I'm looking out the window, Kwanae runs in my room, gets in my bed underneath the cover, and acts like he's asleep. So I'm sitting there for about 3 or 4 minutes. And I'm like, you know, I'm just sitting in my room by myself. So doing things that you do by yourself. Talk to yourself, you know, sing, whatever. And like Mario said, he jumps out of my covers and he's like, JT, he's like, do we need to talk? And I'm like, you know, I want to say no, I'm like, leave me alone, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, for real, do we need to talk? Because I want to know if I need to come over to the gym and knock you around a couple times. He's because you getting beasted like the way Max Seal did you in Cincinnati, ain't going to cut in the SEC. And I don't know about everybody in here, but being an athlete, if somebody comes to you and talks to you about things, you know, that they're kind of sensitive things, like after a loss or something that you do bad, they're real sensitive. And there's only certain people in your life that can say certain things to you. And, you know, I mean, some of my teammates can't even say these things to me because, you know, we'll have our ups and downs. But Kwane became one of those persons that could say whatever he wanted to me whenever he wanted. And he's like, if it was me, I would never let somebody do me like that. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, yeah, right, you know, Kwane, you're just talking. Kwane's 5'11", 200 pounds, going up against 6'7", 300-pound people every day. And as Swoop said, Kwane would never back down. And I think Ron said it too. If you ever had the chance to listen to Kwane and things he said, you actually think to yourself, you know what, Kwane's right. He's always right. This morning, as I was trying to think of what I could say today, I was listening to a song, I Believe I Can Fly, by R. Kelly. And if you listen to the song closely, it's Kwane's life, really. And I want to read you a quick quote from that song. It says, see, I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. There are miracles in my life I must achieve, but first I know it starts inside of me. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. And I mean, that's a great quote, and it's Kwane. Nothing would ever stop Kwane from doing what he wanted to do. Last, I would like to speak to Vanderbilt as a whole, and specifically the football and basketball team members in here tonight, today. We have a very strong brother relationship at this school, and mainly because of people like Kwane Doster. Coming to Vandy, the only football player I really knew was my best friend, Eric Davis, who spoke earlier. Eric introduced me to one of his newfound brothers on the football team, Kwane Doster. So in return, I introduced Eric and Kwane to one of my newfound brothers. From there, the bond between me and Kwane grew, and we became brothers. How many schools in America can you honestly say there's a kind of relationship where you got four football players and four basketball players and two football players living with each other and loving every minute of it? I believe this is something exceptional, and through this interaction, I've gained many friends on the football team that I feel I can turn to. And I know Kwane feels the same way. This is kind of random, but luckily Ronnie said something about it, and I wasn't going to say anything, but now that he said it, it kind of makes it easier on me. There's really not too many people at Vanderbilt that have ever driven my car. And Kwane one day came in my room, and he just grabbed my keys, and he walked out without saying one word. So me being the person I am, I start going off. I'm like, where are you going? And he didn't even say anything. He just left. But, I mean, that shows the kind of relationship we have for nobody to ever drive my car and then a football player that I've only known for 3 years to be able to take my car but me not be mad about it once he gets back. I think we should cherish these times we have together, being brothers and sisters as one, Vanderbilt. And I think we need to make the best of them. Because you never know who's going to end up being the next Kwane Doster in your life. So.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the Voices of Praise at Vanderbilt University, we want to express our deepest condolences to the Doster family and to the Vanderbilt community. We want to sing this next song in his honor. Many of us were friends with Kwane and to his family. There are many times of hardship in each and every one of our lives. And there are many blessings that come along, and that includes every single life we get a chance to be a part of. But we want you to know that in this season of perhaps grief and in this season of sadness, that Jesus truly is a rock in that weary land. And so we want to sing this song, Jesus is a Rock, because he truly is for any situation you can possibly find yourself in.
Thank you. Thank you all. I believe you would have liked that. After the service, the family will meet you in Tillett Lounge on the main floor of the Divinity School, which you can reach by going out the back door and around through the hallway. Let us pray. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.